With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
So Tom Brady, trailing by a field goal, about 2 minutes or so left in a timeout. You go down, you win the game. He's done it 38, 39 times in his career. Comeback wins, almost 50 fourth quarter game-winning drives. And yet, Tom Brady was not good against the Rams. And they lose 27-24 as he throws his second interception, basically to end the game. We're going to break down the Bucs' loss to the Rams, where that puts them in the playoff picture, which is not good, heading into next Sunday's game against the Super Bowl champion Chiefs. All of that with Joey Knight here on this edition of Sports Day Tampa Bay. I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, along with producer Steve Verstek. Hey, who's got the best party platters for your catering in Tampa Bay? Well, that's Mr. Empanada. What the heck is an empanada? You just take your favorite foods, you place them inside a pocket of homemade dough that is cooked perfectly until it's golden brown and piping hot. Their empanadas are a fresh twist on some old favorites. You can order delicious menu items from scratch, including soups, salads, and Cuban sandwiches online at MrEmpanada.com or call any of their 7 convenient locations in Tampa Bay. Where Latin food, quality, and service meet, it's Mr. Empanada. Joey, the only place I can start with this game is that it was an enormous game for the Bucs, first and foremost. And you chronicled on Sunday how the Bucs and the Rams have played a lot of big games, including NFC Championship games, which, by the way, the Bucs came out on the losing end in those, too. But for all of that, for not just the wild card chase or you know, seeing if you still had a chance at this division in the NFC South, but with the Kansas City Chiefs coming on Sunday, this was an enormous game for the Bucs that they needed to play well. They haven't played well in prime time, and they had a chance, a really good chance, to win this game. And I hate to say it because I know it's not on a singular person, and football is the ultimate team sports. Both sides of the ball made mistakes. Tom Brady did not play well again against a very formidable opponent. And now, what is it, 7 of his 9 interceptions this year have come against either the Saints or the Rams. He threw 2 more, including the one that sealed the game. What the heck can you say other than this is not what the Bucs were hoping for, probably when they signed him to a 2-year deal?
And you brought this up, Rick, when we were talking before we went on the air. Is there now a confidence issue with the greatest of all time? It's been pretty well documented, his struggles with the deep balls, and we saw those struggles perpetuate again tonight. He had 2 really bad interceptions. Bruce Arians said on one he was hit, on another one it was a misread. I say they were both pretty bad misreads. They were hoists right up the center field where, you know, a safety was there just kind of hunkered down and waiting. And, you know, Tom got what he got and the Bucs got what they got. But right now, and you raised the point first, and I have to agree, you got to wonder, is this a confidence issue with Tom Brady just in terms of getting the ball downfield? You know, he was brought in to a vertical-friendly offense. Everybody knew that, and that wasn't necessarily Tom's game, but everybody presumed that he would be able to adjust and adapt, and they'd be able to work together and get an offense in sync to that would fit Tom's skill set and what Bruce Arians likes to do, and it just hasn't come to fruition. And it just, again, it played out again tonight. If it wasn't bad enough that his tailbacks were dropping the simple short throws on, you know, the little safety valve throws, he struggled with the deep ball again, and he struggled all night, and his last throw was the fatal flaw.
You know, a couple things about the Rams, and one is pretty obvious, and this was true of the Saints too, and I think now all teams are playing the Bucs this way. They're going to keep 2 safeties high.
No.
And they are not going to let you throw the ball down the field on them very easily. They're not going to play press man. They're not going to play single safety. Tom Brady has thrived against man coverage this year. Where he has gotten in trouble is we all know that Bruce Arians wants to push the ball down the field. I mean, that is the offense. And regardless of coverage, he's going to try to do that. On Monday night, they had one PI that went to Mike Evans. But when you look at this sheet and you see that the longest pass play, no, the longest offensive play all night was 18 yards to Mike Evans. 18 yards, just one. After that, there's a 12-yard completion, a 13, a 16. Folks, that's all, okay? You know, at one point, Tom Brady was averaging about 5 yards of completion.
Yeah.
And he finishes 26 of 48, attempted 48, for just 216 yards. Now, I'm not a great mathematician, but if you divide 48 into 216, it's not going to go in there many times. And so, you know, it really has become a confidence problem, maybe a problem or a lack of synergy. We've talked about this all year with Byron Leftwich. I don't know if it's Brady's confidence or his lack of confidence maybe in what's being sent in from the sideline. You know, that also could be a guy trying to execute, you know, what they're trying to do. Hell, they were lucky. He had one play where he got hit and was trying to throw it out of the end zone, and they were still very much in the ball game. And they were fortunate that they called that an incomplete pass because I'm telling you, on replay, it almost looked like an empty hand coming out of there, and it could have been a fumble return for a touchdown. This is really now at a point of the season where, and look, after the Kansas City Chiefs, they don't play a murderer rows of football teams. They play the Atlanta Falcons twice. We're still capable of beating somebody. And then they play the Detroit Lions, who just got shut out the other day. So it's not like they can't still win 10, maybe 11 games. But if you go loss-loss, and we talked about this coming into this, these two games, you needed the NFC game because that's the one that's going to get you. Where do they sit now? Assuming that the New Orleans Saints don't collapse and they've got Atlanta and Denver and then Atlanta the next 2 weeks, even with a new quarterback, I mean, they're going to try to hang on to a wild card spot at this point.
They are a wild card team right now. If the season ended today, Rick, they would be the sixth seed in the 17 NFC playoffs, which means if the season ended today, they would open the postseason at Green Bay in an opening round playoff thing. And, you know, right now that's kind of an optimistic outlook. You know, you talked about it. The Kansas City Chiefs are coming in. And after that bye week, let's not forget they got the Minnesota Vikings, who had won three in a row.
Great point.
Before they lost to Dallas Sunday. So, you know, the playoffs, which, you know, was kind of a presumption around here only a couple of weeks ago, are not an absolute gimme. Do I think they're going to make the playoffs? Yes, but they're going to be a wild card team, and they're probably going to start the playoffs on the road. And they've got some serious issues here two-thirds of the way into the season. You talked about it. The Rams provided a blueprint tonight. If opposing defenses in the NFL did not have a blueprint on how to defend Tom Brady and this group in 2020, they provided it tonight with it. You know, those two high safeties, you know, not doing a whole heck of a lot in terms of press man coverage, but just kind of, you know, just flooding that deep zone and just taking away the deep ball. And, you know, they're going to be facing some pretty good defensive minds coming up. Raheem Morris knows a little bit about defense. The guys in Minnesota, I think Dom Capers is on that staff. He knows a little bit. So the Rams tonight just laid it out. Here's how you defend Tom Brady in 2020.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think teams are going to dare them to, you know, they'll play cover two, they'll play two deep zone and continue to do it until they beat them. You know, offensively, look, they weren't successful doing anything, okay? They attempted 18 rushes for just 42 yards. That's horrible against that Rams defense, which is good against the run. They're fourth overall. You know, Brady was only sacked technically one time. He was pressured a good bit more than that. But, you know, this offense is so up and down, and I just don't know where you start because, you know, they've added Antonio Brown, and a lot of people are still going to point to that. Although, you know, he had 13 targets, Joey, 13 targets. It's clear that Brady, you know, is going to be more comfortable with him or try to force ball to him. Just 8 catches for 57 yards. Nobody really had a big day. Mike Evans had a great touchdown, mostly a run, you know, after he caught the ball. But this has been a frustrating sort of continuation of what the season has been. And defensively, what happened to that defense that used to create, you know, good field position? Now, they did have a couple interceptions and a huge one at that by Jordan Whitehead that actually gave them a chance to come back, and that was a good drive that they put together. And Brady puts it together and throws a touchdown pass to tie the game at 24. But when you look at Jared Goff, who was the story in my mind somewhat tonight, and just that Rams offense, you know, what Sean McVay has done is create just all kinds of problems for a defense. They attempted 51 passes. He went 39 of 51 for 376 yards with the 3 touchdowns. His interceptions came kind of late, quite frankly, especially the one that let the Bucs back in the game. But, my goodness, Cooper Kupp couldn't cover him. He had 9 of his 11 catches in the first half, ends up with 11 for 145 yards. Robert Woods, same thing. And, you know, they gave up a score at the end of the first half. They had, you know, the Rams had the ball with a minute to go and about 80 yards to go. And they let them get into field goal range way too easily, and they kicked it with Matt Gay, who we'll talk about in a minute, with just 1 second left in the first half. That's a big mistake. In a game that you lose by 3, to let a team go the distance with, you know, one timeout, that's bad defense. I don't think the defense is playing particularly well, and they really, because of the quick throws, they never really got at all no sacks against Jared Goff.
Right. The quick throws, and another thing that I was really impressed with that Sean McVay did, he rolled out Jared Goff a lot. He didn't have to really stand in the pocket for two reasons, because he got rid of the ball quickly or he was rolling out. Right. So I think that's the reason the Bucs really didn't get any sacks. But you mentioned he just did so many things just in terms of, you know, sweeps and misdirections and pre-snap motion just to get those guys open. You know, Woods, 12 catches, 130 yards. Kupp, 11 catches, 145 yards. Just incredible. I agree with you. I think Goff was kind of the unsung story of tonight's game. But, you know, it just kind of – I don't like to – because a lot of these guys have forgotten more football than I'll ever known. Mm-hmm. But it just seems like Sean McVay kind of out-strategized the Bucs tonight with just what he did offensively.
And this would be the thing I'd be concerned about if I'm sort of a Bucs fan. And right now, you know, you have the greatest quarterback of all time, albeit 43 years old. We know he can still play. He keeps himself in tremendous shape, okay? But against Sean Payton, who have been together, obviously, with Drew Brees, and now today against Sean McVay, they've been outcoached. I mean, look, there are plenty of players on this football team, starting with Brady. Right. And then you bring in a Leonard Fournette, or you bring in an Antonio Brown. You know, you have Mike Evans, you have Chris Godwin, you have 3 Pro Bowl receivers and a Pro Bowl tight end in Gronkowski, who had 2 catches out of 6 targets for just 25 yards. There are plenty of dudes on that football team, okay? Yeah, they were missing Ali Marpet, and then, you know, they had A.Q. Shipley get a stinger late in the game, so they were playing down a couple of offensive linemen. None of that is the reason for them to be this bad. The last time I checked, Bruce Arians was an offensive coach.
Yep.
His whole thing was offense, okay? And he handpicked, you know, a guy in Byron Leftwich to run that offense. He is not game planning. He's in the meetings, I guess, but he's not doing the scripts. He's not doing all that. That's Harold Goodwin for the run game. That's Byron Leftwich. Whatever is being put on the field for 3 hours on Sunday does not look coordinated to me. It looks sort of grab baggish, to be honest with you. It's like, we're going to try this, we're going to try that, and they haven't settled on anything. One of the things that they glaringly are missing is the running back to check the ball down to that can get yards after he catches it, if he catches it. I know Leonard Fournette now has become their third down guy. We haven't seen Shady McCoy in weeks. I don't know why he's on the roster, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Once Fournette here. So they're starting with Ronald Jones, who is no receiver, by the way, and dropped the screen pass.
Right.
which he continues to do. And when he does it, Bruce Arians says, well, he just dropped a screen pass. Yeah. Well, okay. And then, you know, and Fournette did not do a very good job receiving the ball. And even though he's had 70-something catches in a year, I still maintain he's not the kind of guy who can run routes, split out wide, do those things, and get separation. Tom Brady is missing what he's sort of used to. He throws the ball underneath the receivers when they play too deep, right? Mm-hmm. You run the ball, you check it down, you move the sticks. Yeah, it's going to take a longer way. And then once in a while, maybe you take a shot here or there. You're right. The teams know how to play the Bucs. It's not a secret anymore against the better defenses. They are shutting this offense down. And even though they had a big day against Carolina, who was horrible on defense, they come right back here and with everything on the line. This is not, in my opinion, about night games. It's not about prime time. I hate to say it. The games they've looked bad in, they've been outcoached. Even in Chicago, they were outcoached to some degree that night.
And credit to you, Rick. You asked Bruce Arians in the post game, would you consider calling plays yourself, shaking things up? And Bruce Arians essentially gave Byron Leftwich a little vote of confidence, said no, Byron's doing a fine job. But you mentioned it. It starts, you know, Tom is comfortable getting the ball out, you know, throwing underneath, getting the ball, flinging it out in space to his receivers, you know, doing it methodically, moving the ball downfield methodically at age 43. And when your tailback drops a screen pass on the third play of the game or whatever it was, and your third down back consistently drops passes, I'm shocked they went back to him after he dropped three passes. They went back to Fournette late in the game. When that happens, it discombobulates everything. And then, you know, you saw what we saw there in the second half. You know, just a series of deep balls that didn't go anywhere and just, like I said, discombobulation. So they've got some meeting of the minds, for lack of a better term, to do. You know, I don't, the talent's there. Everybody knows the talent is there. It's a future all Canton team, if you will, there. Yeah. You know, at the skill positions. They've got to get in the same room with Tom Brady and say, hey, something's got to give, something's got to improve, something's got to get in sync. What are we going to do offensively going forward? Let's lay it out. Let's script it out.
Well, we're not in the meetings, and presumably Bruce Arians isn't in enough of them. But I would say that, you know, this was always going to have to become Brady's offense. I know the terminology. They didn't want to teach 22 other guys a new system who just learned it last year. I get all of that. Brady has learned what to call the plays. But these plays are not working for Tom Brady. This launching the ball, he's not throwing the deep ball well. And a lot of it probably has to do with coverage. And again, he misread the coverage, right? So they're doing some things that are, you know, that are screwing him up, but he's not comfortable doing it. He's not doing it well. He's not throwing the ball well down the field. They're going to have to move faster to Tom Brady than they want Brady to move to them, because I'm telling you, it's way too inconsistent. And even the games like against Carolina, not a lot of deep shots in those games were hit either. I mean, he just frankly hasn't hit them since the Raiders. I'm going back many, many weeks in Las Vegas where he hit his last three deep balls. I think you got to go that far back to find any. I just think that there's a bigger problem here that we're not in the meetings. We can't identify. But we know that Tom Brady's not supposed to look like that in a 2 minute situation. Here's the other thing. The other thing I don't get about this whole game. So the Rams sort of turtled. They had a third and makeable. Okay, on the final drive with the game tied up at 24-24, yeah. They ran it. They said, we're good with a field goal. I'm like, whoa, you're going to give the ball, and talk about confidence now, you're going to give the ball to the guy who's captain comeback, who's Mr. Fourth Quarter Drive, with 2 minutes and a timeout to go. You're good with Matt. First of all, Matt Gay was even money. He was going to make the field goal, and he did. But you go up three and say, that's cool. We'll give the ball to Brady. Field goal ties it. We'll go to overtime. Touchdown, we lose. Right there, I'm saying, holy moly, what do they know that nobody else knows? And then Brady hits a couple balls right down the field in the final drive. And then all of a sudden, He decides to take a shot.
Yes.
Like, why are you taking a shot? You are neither running out of time. And the shot, by the way, isn't to Antonio Brown. It's not to Chris Godwin. It's not to Mike Evans. It's to Cameron Brait. Cameron Brait is running down the seam, and that's who you're trying to hit in a two-minute situation, right, when they're funneling everything to the middle of the field. And again, both interceptions were a center fielder just standing there, and the ball hit him. That ball intercepted him. He did nothing but catch it, right? It just fell out of the sky. So what I don't even get is the decision, right, whether you read the coverage or misread the coverage, why are you trying to push the ball there? You know, they're going to let you complete plenty of balls underneath, move it into field goal range. Once you get into field goal range, if you want to take a shot at the end zone or two, and I'm not telling Tom Brady how to run a two-minute offense. He's done it better than anybody in the history of the league. It just seemed odd to me that you would try to force something down the field into that coverage. How do you misread coverage? What did you think you had? Strange, but at any rate, you know, the Bucs are now going to be searching. And I got to tell you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I watched this Kansas City Rams game the other night, evening actually, and credit to the Rams who had beaten Kansas City for taking them deep into that game. That dude that's coming in here on Sunday, if you think that Jared Goff carved these guys up with short passes, wait till you see this witch who comes out here and can throw it underhand, behind the back, no look, all of that. And if he gets the ball with any time left in it, even if you have a lead, he's probably going to do what he did to the Raiders and break their hearts. This is going to be a much tougher game. This is the reigning MVP, the reigning Super Bowl champions, and I, you know, it's a great matchup, young and old and all of that, but they very easily, and granted, if they win the game, it's momentum, it's we beat the world champions, and we're on to the next four opponents, and we'll take our chances. It would be a great win. They get one of these two, and they didn't get the first one, even though it's not an NFC team. But you could be sitting here in 6 days, and at this time in 6 days, you could be 7-5.
7-5. Going back to that game last night, you look at the supporting cast around Patrick Mahomes. I would take them over the guys that Jordan Goff had.
No question.
You know, the tight end who's probably going to be in Canton one day, Tyreek Hill, Byron Pringle coming home, former Robinson High guy. His name escapes me, the tailback from LSU. They're leading.
So, Hilaire.
Hilaire. You know, so just, you know, if they think they got a carving up tonight. I really think that Tom's just going to have to sit down with Byron and Bruce Arians and say, look, here's our playbook. This is the part that I'm most comfortable in, that I feel we do well. Let's just focus on this. Let's tweak it and polish it and refine it. Let's just focus on this. Let's all get on the same page and say, this is who we want to be. This is what we want to do. And let's go forward. Otherwise, you know, we could very well see a repeat, not of this Monday night game against the Rams, but two Sundays ago against the Saints. We very easily could see that.
Well, and it really is a season sort of on the brink, because even though you say, you know, they've got Minnesota, who is suddenly starting to win some games, and they have really good receivers too, and Adam Thielen and some other guys that are playing great. Atlanta has always, it didn't matter how bad Atlanta is, they've always managed to split the series against these guys. You can't just take for granted. You don't think Raheem Morris wants to come in here and win?
Right.
You bet he does. And they may not give up 9 sacks or whatever it was that they did against the New Orleans Saints. And frankly, you don't have the Saints defense. So there are some still obstacles after this Kansas City game. And this has been the thing all along. Like, it can't just be assumed. And look, 7-3 is one of the best starts in franchise history. Okay. Now 7-4. But you can't take for granted that they're just going to the playoffs. You can't take for granted that there won't be a lack of confidence, not just with the quarterback and the play caller, but maybe with the other guys on the football team. I assure you, there's a number of players, as you look at these numbers, that go, hey, what's really going on here? You know, Mike Evans had one of the best plays I've seen this year in football. He drove a guy 5 yards, and two guys 5 yards into the end zone. You know what? He had five catches. Again, they threw it almost 48 times. He was targeted 9 of them, and Brown and Godwin did his thing, 7 for 53. But, you know, you're going to have to keep people happy. And people, you know, Evans has said he'll sacrifice his numbers. He wants to win. But what happens when you stop winning? What happens if it gets really tight over here? Because we know what the national media is going to say tomorrow. You know what they're going to say? And these are the talking heads, right? But yeah, they get paid millions of dollars to go on First Take or whatever those other shows are called, and they're going to say, Brady's done.
Yeah.
He's done. He can't throw the deep ball. It's over. Look at all the weapons. Antonio Brown. And to some extent, look, I said it in my game story. Not that he's done, but that he had one of his worst. It's inexplicable that he's playing the worst against some of the biggest moments in the biggest games. Those are the games that he is here for. And I've said, you know, you signed Tom Brady to play the Saints. You signed Tom Brady to play the Rams and the Chiefs. You signed him to play these primetime games, which, by the way, they're 1-3. 1-3 in primetime games now this year. These are the moments with 2 minutes to go and trailing by a field goal that Tom Brady has to at least get you into overtime, if not win that game. If you gave it to him 10 times, how many times does he do at least one of those or the other against anybody? And I mean, we see him doing his Super Bowls, for God's sakes, yeah, you know, with everything on the line. So this stage is not too big for him. Something is wrong, okay, and they got to fix it, and it has to be coaching. It has to. It's not. The players are out there. You have to put them in position to make plays. Now, you can't throw the ball and you can't catch it for them, granted. But all of the other stuff, that's got to improve. And I don't know how they find themselves here, but they do. And
you raised another good point, Rick. These guys are professionals, and they're going to be diplomatic in public in speaking to us. But they're also human beings, and they're frustrated human beings. And you got to wonder what that locker room is going to be like here in the next few days. And, you know, he's getting his targets, but God knows what kind of a powder keg Antonio Brown is and, you know, how this is affecting him. But there's got to be some frustration. There's got to be some frustration with the coaches, with the play calling. Maybe some guys are frustrated with their touches or lack thereof. Shady McCoy. It's going to be a really interesting week. You've got to be curious of what's going on in that locker room because, again, these guys are professionals, but they're human beings, and they have to be frustrated right now.
And someone that I know that I trust in the Bucs organization, I talk a lot of guys over there, so I'm trying to figure out who it is, but said that it looks right now that there's a confidence problem with the quarterback. And if you've got that, what does the rest of the team feel? Because they all know he's the GOAT. Right. Here's the thing that happens, though. And welcome to Joe Montana's world, Tom Brady. When you go from some place where you've won a lot of Super Bowls, great. When you come here and everything is different, from receivers to coordinators to sunshine to climate, everything is different. They expect you to take them to the Super Bowl. They're not interested in, hey, let's win a few games. Maybe we get to play. No, no, no. You've got to be Tom Brady here.
Yeah.
You have to do what you did there right here because you came here to play with better guys like Mike Evans, like Chris Godwin. They gave you Antonio Brown. They gave you Rob Gronkowski. They gave you Leonard Fournette, okay, and Shady McCoy, right? Now you got to go be Tom Brady here. And that's, for the first time, there's pressure in that. There really is. And he's in an unfamiliar, doesn't know why he's done half sync with his receivers. It's going to be a really interesting week. But the one thing Brady has done this year is bounce back. So I think from that standpoint, he's in pretty good shape. Final thoughts? Anything?
And you just mentioned it. If they come out and they play like gangbusters and beat Kansas City, everything's hunky-dory again. I mean, that's just the up and down.
It's a week-to-week league.
It is. He said it. It's a week-to-week league. And just to put the cherry on top of this, Matt Gay kicking the game winner.
How about that?
I mean, you were privy to all those misses last year. I was on a different beat, but you sat through all that, and the Bucs fans sat through all that. And you could see it happening, Rick. You could see it, just the game shaping up like that. Here he comes. He's going to kick, you know, maybe not the game winner at the final horn, but the go-ahead field goal, and darned if he didn't.
Not only that, he kicked it into the south end zone. For those of you who don't know, Matt Gay, all his major misses against the Giants and others that were cataclysmic were into the south end zone, and this was his first game as a Los Angeles Ram. And where does he play it? Right back here at Raymond James. He did miss a field goal to the north end zone, which could have been a big miss. As the game turned out, it wasn't, so he was fortunate. But he's got a few really good, and you, of course, wrote about him in the Tampa Bay Times and on TampaBay.com. Well, they're going to throw us out of Raymond James Stadium, so we're going to leave it here. And just remember to go see our friends at Mr. Empanada for the party platters. Look, it's an empanada is delicious. They take your favorite foods. They put it in a pocket of homemade dough. It's cooked perfectly. You can order delicious menu items from scratch, including soup, salads, and Cuban sandwiches online at MrEmpanada.com or call any of their 7 convenient locations in Tampa Bay. For Steve Versnick and Joey Knight, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great night, everybody.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.